The United Nations has created two international criminal tribunals, the first such court since the end of the Second World War, one to deal with the genocide in the former Yugoslavia, and a second one to prosecute those responsible for the 1994 slaughter of 500,000 people in Rwanda. The two tribunals share the same chief prosecutor, Judge Louise Arbour of Canada, and the same panel of appeals judges. Both have been criticized for moving very slowly, but in the case of the Tribunal for Rwanda, which is based in Arusha, Tanzania, the problems seem much more serious. The Rwanda Tribunal appears to be crippled by corruption. Elizabeth Newfer of the Boston Globe has recently written extensively on why the tribunal on Rwanda's genocide has scarcely begun to function.
The Rwandan tribunal is in a state of some disarray. It has had to postpone its first genocide trials until next year, and has had a number of false starts. It is under investigation by its own UN auditors, and more recently, USAID has also started reviewing allegations that range from petty corruption to major mismanagement in the tribunal.
Well, now, are you talking about common or garden variety corruption, money corruption, or is there something more serious going on here?
I think most of it is garden variety. We're talking about people who intervene in an effort to get their friends and girlfriends hired. And in one memo that I reviewed, a translator urged the chief administrator to hire his girlfriend and even volunteer to write her own job description. Both that translator and his girlfriend are still employees of the tribunal. The overall sense is of an institution that is being riven by political infighting, that has been abandoned by the UN in New York, and there's real concern among its staff about whether or not its trials will really get off the ground.
In your article in The Globe, you talked about things as mundane as automobiles and telephones, ability to travel, ability to use faxes. All the kinds of communications that you would expect in a modern operation are not there.
It's stunning to, in a sense, walk into the halls of what one would expect to be the centerpiece of justice in Africa, and to find that a prosecutor has to get permission from the chief prosecutor simply to send a fax. So do the investigators. The security guards who are supposed to guard prosecutors and investigators when they're out on the roads haven't gotten their guns yet. The investigators don't have cars. And indeed, even their local telephones go down all the time, sometimes just because of administrative errors, which leave phone bills unpaid.
Whose fault is this?
One problem is the Rwanda tribunal has always been the poor cousin of the Bosnia tribunal. Part of that is a funding problem. Since the inception of the tribunals in 1994, the Rwanda tribunal has received $42 million compared to the $75 million that the Bosnia tribunal has received. They have 50 investigators in Rwanda when they wanted 150. And part of it is simply they're in Africa and Bosnia, the Bosnia tribunal, is in Europe. One complaint before Judge Arbour arrived was that the previous head of the tribunal, Judge Goldstone, had paid very few visits to Africa, only two or three in his tenure. Since coming in, Judge Arbour has made a large effort to remedy that and, in fact, was in Kigali while I was there reviewing some of the problems.
How different, really, is this from the tribunal on the former Yugoslavia? Neither group has indicted very many people. Neither group has moved very fast. Is there really a big difference between them?
I think there is a big difference. In The Hague, I think the problem is a different one. The Hague has successfully indicted a number of people. Its biggest problem is that the people it's indicted are not in custody. And in a sense, that's a problem that's outside of their domain. That's up to the NATO peacekeeping forces in Bosnia and the fact they've been reluctant to arrest war criminals. In Rwanda, it's a different situation. They have people in custody, but the investigators and others and you know feel that they're just not perhaps as well equipped to move forward as they'd like to. They simply don't have the resources to get out and look up all those questions that they'd like to before they go to trial.
Elizabeth Newfer is the European Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. She spoke to us from our offices in New York.